consequence of not transforming into a customer-centric organization. So, what will go against you, or what will you be faced by you? The failure to adopt customer-centric business model and treating customers through a one-size-fits-all, OSFA, that's okay whether you remember or not, that's not important, will suffer a number of adverse consequences. So, if you just wear a hat that one solution for all, you do not want to be customer-centric, which requires flexible solution, which requires a lot of flexibility, that means you are not willing to become customer-centric. Now, you may face, therefore, a lot of consequences. Wasted resource. Treating customers through a one-fit-all, okay, or one-size-fit-all model leads companies to unnecessarily waste valuable resources. Okay, so they create things which probably do not move. So, at the end, they get into abandonment. At the end, they get into scrapping things, etc. So, that's a waste of resources. Sales misalignment. Sales is always misaligned because under a particular product-centric business, salesperson pursue order and respond to customer requests in a disjointed fashion. They lose the sight of a potential prospects, etc. They work mostly on the order. And there also, they lose sight of customer need. They try to push things from their perspective. That's another consequence. The third one is disappointed customers. At the end of it, the customer who gets your product or the service, okay, and he was increasingly seeking more attention, more personalization in the experience that he was trying to reach out to you for, they will ultimately reject a one-fit-for-all value proposition. So, then what will happen? He will not see a relevance of it, and therefore he will want to discard or disconnect with you. Unproductive working environment, the lack of coordination between customer facing and the back end, you know, that will, or a non-customer facing function, often results in crisis mode. Organization always many times will come into crisis mode because something that a customer suddenly demands, you are not able to coordinate because backend is not able to cooperate, then every time escalation mode or a crisis mode has to be declared, then only the required support comes. Decreased loyalty, one size fit all treatment of different customers or your loyal customers needs only a small portion of customers. Many companies fail to recognize that there is no such thing as an average customer. So that's also a very important aspect. One size fit all believes in an average customer as a entity, which is not so. Customer, those who are loyal are different, those who are forming relationship are different, customers who are a newcomer to you are different. So you have to have things designed to meet those customers' expectation and experience need. So we studied couple of consequences of not being a customer centric organization. I will just repeat them. Wasted resource, sales misaligned, disappointed customers, unproductive working environment, and a decreased loyalty. So, we move on to the next one, which is a success factor. Success factor in becoming a customer-centric organization. The primary element that organization needs to adopt. So, to be successful, what organization needs to adopt? Employee skill. It is very, very imperative. Earlier also I mentioned, they are your front face, they are your brand, they represent you, and therefore all employees, including those in the back office, possess a skill to deliver an experience. Back office should not think that, you know, nobody knows what we do. They should know that what they do and how it contributes to the experience being delivered, okay, and they should know that they are a part of promise fulfillment. So that's what, and for that the requisite skill has to be imparted. Information. Customer information needs to be unified and shared with all employees across the entire organization. Customer information needs to be unified means service data should not center and remain different. The purchase data should not be elsewhere. The complaint data should not be elsewhere. It is like when Ashish Hathi 9920 blah etc. calls up Airtel. They know that what was my last concern, what was that complaint resolved, what is my outstanding, they know that complete picture, okay, what plan do I have, etc. So, that's the power of information. measurement, operational measurements, that is, for example, average handle time in contact center, are important to identify underlying operational challenge, and they should never sense to reflect the success or failure of a given business function. So, many organizations believe that is the call center is a only place where success can be achieved. It is not so. Measurement, operational measurement is also required to be pulled in. And it's not only call center, it's operational measure at various levels within the organization that should drive and give you a perspective whether are you customer centric, are you meeting or exceeding customer expectation. Financial metrics, understanding the cost associated with delivering more specific experience to a specific set of loyal customer of specific different segment. You know, how is that cost is associated and how that cost translates into experience, and that experience and getting the customer lifetime value vis-a-vis the economics of recovering the value, how that is crucial if employees are going to make the right decisions with customers. So that's also at the end, broadly, finance is definitely affected. You create entire bandwidth of a process, or you create your organizations to see that loyal customers are treated well. And when that happens, you have to see that this experience development cost is recovered. How? And salespeople and your employee play that vital role. So these are those success factors. Further education, the true customer-centric focus will be new discipline for many employees. Now, it's not easy, as I said earlier also, to get the customer-centric focus, the employee needs to be educated, okay? So that education, therefore, should not be only on the product or the service, should be focused on, along with product and service, using the process, how can you deliver the experience. Line of sight, the final and most important element to ensure customer strategy success is creating individual employee line of sight to the desired customer experience. So when the salesperson comes in front of a specific customer who's your loyal customer, this person should get this line of sight, okay? He should know from where the customer is coming, what are the his tastes, his preferences, etc. When he is asking something, what is it that he is looking for? So that kind of orientation has to be developed. So that will enable him to interact better. So now let's understand this important subject called delivering the company to the customers. Now when company becomes a customer centric, they will have to put many things working around the customer. Okay, when that has to happen, everything has to organize the customer, the company, you know, it's not easy. Company has to take three areas seriously, okay? So, creating a customer-centric capability, that is product-centric company versus customer-centric company. So, broadly, to become customer-centric organization, you have to organize around customer, means you have to literally deliver your company to the customer where everyone is a stakeholder. And customer is the primary recipient who will then evaluate the worthiness of being with you as a long term. So creating a customer centric capability, which is you have to understand the product centric versus customer centric. We have understood what is customer centric as such. Perfect lateral networking capabilities. So that's another second capability. Then the organization has a competitive advantage. That's a third capability that they have to develop. We will learn them one by one. So let's understand the first capability, which is customer-centric capability. Now, to be a customer-centric this thing, organizations, whatever they create, whatever the digital solutions or whatever the other solutions that they create, essentially, the company has to keep customer in the center, for which company has to understand the customer perspective from the eyes of the customer. Second, what it says, economies of scope. Well, economies of scope means on one hand, you try to see the cost which you need not, you know, disproportionately add to create a specific value, because you should be able to also recover the value. You should be able to convert that opportunity or the economical scope into a solution. That solution is a viable solution for the customer. So then he will go for it. And viable and valuable, when viable aspect comes in, customer looks at value in it. When he finds a better value, it becomes viable for him. And customer-centric company becomes an expert in customer business. So here, you are not merely providing product or the service. You are providing solution to that person's business need. So that's where the next leap comes. So customer-centric capability includes your ability to participate in the business of the customer in helping him overcome challenges, etc. So that's one first capability. By using the graph to contrast customer centricity and product centricity, the difference between the two is now obvious. So we have studied earlier. So what this line says, by there is some graph, we have not said like represented as such, but what it means is this. The product centric competitor focuses on one product development at a time, while the customer-centric competitor focuses on one customer at a time and may provide or tries to sell him as many product, as many services as possible. So here effort is to be valuable to the customer, be fulfilling customer needs, etc. And thereby you become partner in their business. As they said, you should be able to offer solutions. So one-stop solutions, as they say, one-stop shop. That is a concept which has come in essentially out of this kind of arrangement. So customer-centric capability, then we understand, you know, we have been seeing that product and customer-centric is the graph that was referred at that point of time. I have told you, we have not shown you. Here is that graph that I would like to briefly touch base upon. So to understand the difference, so there are five parameters, as you can see on the left extreme, that is the strategic, people and the culture specific, the processes, the rewards and the metrics of evaluation and organizational structure. I will essentially read out the customer centric organizations related features. Strategically, they create the best solution for the customer. So the product centric will do the only product. Okay. The people and culture wise, entire dimension is towards the customer, and therefore culture is to be customer centric. Search for new emerging need of the customers and try to fulfill that. Vis-a-vis the product centric, it is like what is the next new product one can develop so that you can get more business from the same customer. So that's what processes in the customer centric organization. It's always looking for new solution development, enhancing the customer experience. So that's how the processes are aligned. Versus the product centric, how can a new product be developed? While in rewards and metrics, rewards people with deep insight into customers. So here, like those individuals who understand customer better, they use various platforms provided by the company to know the customer well and serve well, will get rewarded. While here in the product centric, the new product development team gets rewarded. And finally, the structure of the organization wise, it's a customer segment centric structure and then works with the profit and loss. So economies of scale and various other aspects that we studied. While in the product centric, it's a product division, SBU centric, you know, aluminium sheets and then metal bars, and they will be like that. Okay, so that's the difference. Second capability that is needed for company to deliver, you know, itself to the customer is the lateral networking capabilities. As the name suggests, if your organization is a very functional organization, very limited geographical operation, then you do not really require a very wide network. You can functionally reorganize and still become customer centric or serve the customer as needed. But if you are a multi-product, multi-continent, multi-market enterprise, each with their goals and objectives, etc., but they belong to the same company, they belong to the same, say, brand, etc. Now, in such case, a company needs a lot of lateral networking capabilities. They must exactly be connected well with various other functional, counterparts in that organizations, what is happening there, you should know also actively. I said they will have to create such kind of a thing that exchange of information, both data and strategic, this thing is smooth, or at least there is a flag off which is possible. If somebody is looking for it, the other provides it. So that kind of a lateral networking capability. When you say that, there are basic networks that operate is been mentioned out here. We will study them one by one. Informal or a voluntary network, to with formal teams, with coordinator for the networks, then metrics across the other dimensions, and separate customer line organization. So we'll see them. So let's understand the next capability for organizations to deliver itself to the customer, which is lateral networking capability. And then we understood that there are various kinds of network that get formed. First is an informal or a voluntary network. Now it depends, it just gets formed, you know, it doesn't require any design, it just happens based out of the real need. Example is given about PNG vis-a-vis Nestle. Nestle has not really designed itself to form any global base oriented around global customers, etc. Their customers are very segmented vis-a-vis PNG, which is a global focus. Now at the Nestle, therefore, there is an informal or a voluntary network who exchange information. Our country managers and country account managers for Walmart routinely exchange information and ideas about Walmart on an informal basis. While the Walmart, etc., okay, have their formal structure, but informally also, their country manager or respective functional people exchange information with each other. They raise their doubts, they raise their need, and others try to fulfill it. Formal structures or formal teams, here are the next level of strength that can be applied to a customer network. Okay, this step is usually taken when a customer desires more than informal coordination. Here the expectation comes to form that formal team out of the expectations of the customer. So companies like IBM and, you know, those high-end Accentures or KPMGs, and those organizations to service a specific international client probably will have to also put in formal team, so that client exactly knows role of each team member, and then they can connect with the right person. For example, global or key account team are formed by appointing all the sales and account representatives serving your customers on one account for that customer. These representatives from all product lines and all country exchange information, much like Nestle's informal networks. So though this is a formal network, here the entire team is supporting a client, and that team will connect across with their counterpart in the other country. They are allowed to do that formally also. Often they get into informal exchanges. Now that depends on sensitivity, and that depends on the nature of information, confidentiality thereof, etc. So that's a formal team. Network coordinators. The next lateral networking capability part is making a global customer dimension more powerful, is to create a coordinator for key accounts. So therefore, you see that key account manager, the coordinator performs two important new functions. First, coordinator becomes the global customer voice on the management team. He being a key account manager, he has to voice in outside in. He has to voice the customer voice within his management. He is not merely there to service. He is there to also represent customer in his management. These teams usually consist of managers of the product lines or geographical function head, etc. So who becomes a key account manager, that depends. Or who becomes the network coordinator, that depends on overall where the customer is, what is the scale of business, what is the territory that his business covers, etc. And accordingly, the key account manager or the network coordinators are placed. The coordinator gets the leadership to think in terms of a portfolio of customer priorities and customer centricity. Customer team can also appeal to the coordinator in resolving conflicts. So he's the one who has to first think from the customer viewpoint. Okay, he should know the portfolio of the customer, their priorities, and make his organization center around various needs. At the same time, he has to be at the center to resolve internal conflict, if any, or support that his team requires vis-a-vis the customer. The second task of the coordinator is to build and manage infrastructure to support customer teams. So he has to internally garner support. So he is in a position to support what is an expectation coming from his customer. Okay. The coordinator would assume the role of a managing customer information system and communication across the customer team. So he is at the center. His role is to not only get the information, outside in information for his organizations, but at the same time from his organizations to the customer side. So there is a balanced information, and therefore no wrong misunderstanding, prejudices or ineffectiveness will be visible. Customers will know that you are ultimately working for his project, for his goal fulfillment, etc. So that's a network coordinator. Matrix organization. So that's a type of an organization which is formed where global customer designs to form the customer or customer segment dedicated units within countries and product line, and then report to the customer coordinator. Internally, which is the organization which is going to serve, on the face of it, there are silos based organization like us, functions like a marketing, sales, production, operation, logistics, supply chain, blah blah. But that will not work with the organization, especially the customer-centric. Customer-centric coordinator or customer-centric organizations where the customer-side coordinator would exactly like to know how your organization is aligned to fulfill his requirement. So how your various functions are doing what and for whom, who is a coordinator. So organizations may have to form what you call a matrix structure where they have to pull in one people each from various functions. They continue to play their vital role for the what they have been taken. So one from the marketing, one from the finance for this particular project, for this particular customer. It doesn't mean that they have to give up all other jobs. But for these customers, they continue to be a formation of a matrix structure. They are pulled from different functions of the organizations. Customer is told that this is what my marketing coordinator, this is my operation coordinator, etc. So this person is able to work within your organization by contacting the right person. So that's the matrix organization. The assumption is that the customer dimension has to attend a strategic importance equal to the country's end of business unit. This importance is expressed by making the customer organization equal partner. So you are putting forward to the customer that this is the team that I am offering to you. Customer side, assumption is that my customer will also come forthright with important strategic aspects from his side, and he will continue to connect with the right person to extract maximum from the organization and fulfill the common objective. Both actually wanted finally something to materialize. So that's what comes out of this matrix organization. Separate customer organizations. Separate customer organizations. A final step is creating a separate customer facing structure. Companies have business processes that are oriented towards making the business operate efficiently, and other that results in the delivery of the product or the service to the customer. First, let me just completely read this for you. The formal includes the business facing activities such as planning, budgeting, while the latter takes place in customer facing departments such as sales and marketing. Here, customers facing organization is created by the service provider. Here, they do this business processes that are oriented towards making the business operate efficiently. You have your business processes to how to handle customers, how to handle the project management, etc. While you do that, you also assign responsibility to the formal includes business facing activities. So they are like business side, they represent your business, they do processes and all as per your design, etc. And within that budget, they try to work that way. The latter takes place in customer facing department where sales, marketing are directly responsible for them. So you create definitely an organization where customer knows, okay, he is my counterpart, he's been assisted by so-and-so people, etc. In the metrics, it was still an open this thing. Okay, customer has to decide whom to address his need to. And that person takes the onus on his own proactively. Here, customer has a one-point contact and he will just work with that person because that's the organization. You have offered him a one organization, it's a project management organization who will then work for the client within the organization. But customer touch point is only one, okay, and he will drive back-end activity as well as the front-end activity. Thank you, friends.